Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You. Come on, play along. What could happen?
You'll have many, many, many babies.
You'll eat lots of cheese.
This magic moment.
You know the game. It's fun. The question's hard. The answer's debatable. 3 points for the blind guess. He is the odd one.
It wasn't blind. It was based on our original thinking.
Okay. That
you happen to be thinking of something else.
Okay.
Right?
3 points for your original thinking.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere.
Every show brings something new, something intriguing, and of course, something silly.
They both strongly believed that the source of diamonds is maple syrup.
He had you there for a while, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
This magic moment.
The Sublime and the Ridiculous on Says You, next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Secretary of State John Kerry is renewing a U.S. pledge to protect Asian allies, but he's stressing that Washington wants a peaceful solution to tensions with North Korea. Kerry is in Tokyo after holding meetings with top officials in China and South Korea.
They were extremely constructive, very positive, respected the common interests that we share with respect to stability in the region. Particularly with respect to the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
Kerry speaking in Tokyo alongside his Japanese counterpart. Tokyo, the final stop of Kerry's Asian tour, aimed at solidifying support for curbing North Korea's nuclear program amid North Korean threats. China is reporting more cases of humans infected with a new strain of bird flu. At least 60 cases have now been reported, and state media say there have been two more deaths. NPR's Jim Hawk reports.
Two people in a central Chinese province have been infected by the H7N9 virus. The first cases found in the region. 11 people have died out of the 51 cases now identified. Earlier, health authorities confirmed that a 7-year-old child in the capital of Beijing had been infected by the new bird flu virus, the first case to be reported outside of eastern China. Authorities say there is still no indication of human-to-human transmission of the virus. Just in case, U.S. labs are using a new, faster approach to develop a vaccine, testing a seed strain of the virus made from the genetic code already posted on the internet. Jim Hawk, NPR News.
A World Health Organization official in Beijing says the spread of the new strain of bird flu in China is not surprising and will probably continue. Palestinian Prime Minister Salam Fayyad resigned this weekend after policy disagreements with Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas. NPR's Emily Harris reports from Jerusalem that Fayyad will head a caretaker government until a new prime minister is in place.
When Salam Fayyad does leave the Palestinian government, he'll take with him trust he's built up among international leaders and donors. Fayyad is an American-educated economist with a reputation here as a fighter of corruption. After news of Fayyad's resignation, the White House called him a strong partner. He had been expected to play a role in a new U.S. aid program to promote economic development in the West Bank. Secretary of State John Kerry is due to announce details of that aid this week. It's part of his effort to restart peace talks between Israelis and Palestinians. Emily Harris, NPR News, Jerusalem.
In Caracas today, trucks are blaring bugle calls, an election day tactic designed to get out the vote. Voters in Venezuela are going to the polls today to choose a successor to the late President Hugo Chavez. Chavez's hand-picked candidate, acting President Nicolas Maduro, remains the favorite. But at least in some opinion polls, the opposition challenger appears to have narrowed the gap. You're listening to NPR News. Alaska's legislature is on the verge of wiping out former Governor Sarah Palin's signature piece of tax policy. Alexander Gutierrez with the Alaska Public Radio Network reports.
Alaska uses a system where oil companies see a higher tax rate as their profits go up. This newest legislation would scrap that mechanism and is expected to lower oil taxes by about $1 billion a year. Alaska has started to lag behind other oil-producing states because of the shale boom, and the Republican-controlled legislature says an overhaul is needed to attract more investment. Meanwhile, Democrats like Representative Andy Josephson argue that undoing it would cripple a state that's almost entirely dependent on oil taxes.
But I'm confused
about the argument that somehow if we don't reform, we're giving up roads, troopers, and schools.
A final vote is scheduled for today. Palin has rarely come up in the debate, and she has not offered any public statements on the legislation. For NPR News, I'm Alexander Gutierrez in Juneau.
At the first major golf tournament of the year, Brant Snedeker will be seeking his first major title. He's tied for the lead with Angel Cabrera heading into today's final round at the Masters in Augusta, Georgia. But NPR's Tom Goldman says it should be an entertaining finish.
There are no clear front runners because, you know, the top five or six are all separated by a shot or two. I think what's startling about the co-leader, Brant Snedeker, last night after a very good third round, he said he was 100% sure that he would be able to deal with whatever comes up.
NPR's Tom Goldman at the Masters in Augusta, Georgia. A number of players, including Tiger Woods, have a shot at the title. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Republic Records with Overgrown, the new album from James Blake, available now on iTunes.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
On the radio.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. Thank you. From Bemis Hall in Lincoln, Massachusetts, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's an up-and-coming insider who's never down and out, Tony Khan. She's a forward-thinking, backward-compatible performer who loves the movie Sideways, Lenore Shannon. And he's a downright upright gentleman through and through, Mr. Barry Nolan. And who's going to lead today?
Tony will.
Well, the Occupy Tony group.
Tony will be the
I
captain.
I believe in anarchy. Yeah, okay.
To my left, team two, she's come from the upscale town next door where she claims it's a case of the blonde leading the blonde, Carolyn Fay Fox. He's ferried in from the islands to be with us today, the slightly nauseated Arnie Reisman. And she packed up the dog and turned down the heat at home so she could turn up the heat right here, Miss Paula Lyons. Who's going to lead today?
Our cousin from Wellesley.
Yeah, I'm preoccupied.
Carolyn will be the captain. Correct answers are worth 10 points, or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with a round of Odd Man Out. Great thanks to Christopher Reese of Lexington, Kentucky, for his contributions, and to Kim Chalupa of Houston, Texas, for urging us by putting pick me, pick me, pick me all the way down the bottom of the email. Which of the following does not belong in the list? 5 points for the correct answer, 5 more for telling me why. Carolyn?
Mm-hmm.
Lemuel Benedict.
Lemuel Benedict.
Benedict. Samuel Beckett.
Samuel Beckett.
Robert Cobb, C-O-B-B.
Robert Cobb.
Richard Foster, F-O-S-T-E-R.
Richard Foster.
And finally, Sweden's King Oscar II.
What?
Sweden's King Oscar II. Lemuel Benedict, Samuel Beckett, Robert Cobb, Richard Foster, and Sweden's King Oscar II.
Okay, I think Samuel Beckett is the odd man out.
Now, why would you think that?
It's just a wild guess.
I think you're right.
I think you're right, too, because...
Well, you are right.
Okay. Good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now,
It's the only name I recognized.
Therefore?
Actually, no, it's not. And that's part of what this is all about.
Oh, Lemuel Benedict was nicknamed Eggs.
No.
And Robert Cobb was Corny,
she's
right?
Closer than you realize.
Well, is it? Richard Foster, Stephen Foster.
No. Is it for food? Named for food.
Whoa. Bananas. Yeah. Bananas, yeah. Foster. Yeah. And Oscar Mayer Wieners?
No.
And Mr. Cobb Salad?
No, Veal Oscar.
That's
Veal
exactly Oscar. Right. 10 right. points. Very good. Oh, nice job.
Well, that's perfect for you.
Wow.
Lemuel Benedict? That's who Eggs Benedict are named for. Robert Cobb of the Cobb Salad. Richard Foster created bananas. It was Bananas Foster were created for him. Yeah. And Sweden's King Oscar II is Veal Oscar. There's no... Anyone know a Beckett dish that I'm not aware of?
Right.
All right. Well, no dish was named after Samuel Beckett that we could find. I'm sure I'll
not
get mail.
Yet.
Try this one, Tony. What's the odd one out? College. Achievement.
Oh. Okay.
Hit. HIT. Or miss. MISS. College, achievement,
hit, or miss. That, in a word, was my experience at Harvard in 1960. I kind of covered it all, and I went through Harvard in approximately 7 weeks.
Yeah, there you go.
In the front door, out the back. Guys, support your leader.
There's a scholastic achievement test.
Oh,
it's this.
Yep.
No, that's aptitude.
Hat trick, college trick, achievement trick. Miss Trick. Oh, do I remember Miss Trick?
Remember Miss Trick?
Oh. It's a second word that goes with three of those words and does not go with the fourth.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is true.
So there you go, Tony.
It's not parade.
Is college the odd one?
Joe College, Joe Achievement. I'm gonna take Carolyn's route and take a wild guess and say that the one that's out of this is Miss.
Unfortunately, you did not do as well as Carolyn.
But that does narrow it down.
It does, certainly.
Let's
see. So Lenore says it's achievement.
No, I said it was college.
Which one of us is right?
Let's try to think of a word that follows miss, shall
actually,
we?
Don't say it.
Misalignment.
Misspent. Hit spent. Miss.
No. Oh, I don't think they're going to get it.
No.
I may have to go to the other side who are just despicable in their smugness over there.
Yeah.
The odd man is hit because the other ones are all junior.
That's exactly right.
Junior college, junior achievement, junior miss.
Junior miss, but Hit is the odd man out. I am so sorry.
How quickly they forget
said
the junior mince miss
instead of miss, I would have gotten it.
Yeah, right.
I don't think there was a junior mince.
You know, I forgot about junior mince, too. I didn't even think of it. All right, Arnie.
Mince.
Here's the tribute to you this week. What's the odd one out?
Third one.
John Adams.
Okay.
Thomas Jefferson, James Monroe, and Calvin Coolidge. What's the odd
Coolidge
one out?
Coolidge is always the odd guy.
John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Monroe, and Calvin Coolidge.
You know, if you'd said Calvin Klein, this would be easier.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, my goodness. Are we talking geography?
We are not talking geography.
All right.
Arnie gets the hardest one always.
Was Monroe ever a foreign delegate of some sort, Arnie? Because Adams was, Jefferson was, right?
Yeah.
Coolidge never was.
And Coolidge never was.
Is
but
that,
you're not going
we,
that
are we
way.
Going in the right direction?
I'm not going that way.
Oh, does it have to do with their wives?
Not at all.
Okay. Well, I think Calvin Coolidge was a good guess anyway.
Well, Calvin Coolidge is right.
All right. Okay,
so
we got
I'll
our
give follow. You, what do they get for the blind guess?
But now I have to what you meant.
Yeah.
We have to guess what you meant.
3 points for the blind guess on Calvin Coolidge. Yeah. He is the odd one.
It wasn't blind. It was based on our original thinking.
The other three had other positions before the president.
3 points for your original thinking.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. And it's not where they're from, and it's not. Is it something they all?
Were they farmers?
They all did.
Were they farmers?
Well, in a way, it's something they all did.
Jefferson and Monroe are almost, well.
Contemporaries, almost?
Almost, yeah.
Well, they're contemporaries in a very interesting way.
Oh, they all
way.
Die on the same day?
Well,
all
now
die
you're
on
getting
July
there.
4th? July 4th?
Except
July 4th.
Coolidge, of course, who...
Of course, who was born on July 4th.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
That is exactly right. John...
And Adams and Jefferson died on the exact same
day. On the exact
right.
same day.
1826, on the 50th anniversary of the Declaration.
That's
Thank
right.
You, Arnie,
in one of history's
encyclopedia.
Weirdest coincidences, three U.S. presidents, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and James Monroe, all died on July 4th. Calvin Coolidge, on the other hand, was born on July
Speaks
on the 4th
volumes.
Of July.
Right.
Try this one, Lenore. A dulce de leche.
Dulce,
yeah.
It's pronounced dulce.
Dulce,
dulce,
de leche.
Dulce de leche. Yeah.
Okay? Whatever, I know what it is.
Okay. A lemonade.
Yeah.
A ham and cheese on rye, and a peanut butter sandwich. What's the odd one out? A dulce de leche, is that it?
Dulce de leche.
A lemonade, a ham and cheese on rye, and a peanut butter sandwich.
Well, start with the most obvious. Does it have anything to do with the ingredients?
Yeah,
I'm going to start asking a few questions.
In an odd way, yes, in an odd way, but not,
way.
Not. I don't want to throw you off.
Does it have to do with country of origin?
No.
Okay. The odd one out is ham and cheese on rye.
The odd man out is ham and cheese on rye. That's five
All right,
points.
So we get something for that.
That's 5 points.
Okay.
Well, sugar's not an ingredient.
Sweet. The dulce de leche, when it falls, always falls on the dulce side. The peanut butter and jelly always falls on the peanut butter side. And lemonade, you should hold on to it, because if it falls a glass...
Yeah, eye, right. I'm going to leave that as quickly as possible.
Barry, do you have a guess?
I
the
am
other side?
Clueless.
I think, are they all ice cream flavors except ham and cheese?
No, they are not ice cream flavors. I go
That's
to the audience.
Guess.
No one knows?
Blank what? Faces.
No, what? Sirree. There is no ham and cheese Girl Scout cookie.
Oh, really?
God.
Yes.
Lemonade,
yes.
Girl Scout cookie.
Oh, come on.
Certainly changed the mood in this room, didn't we?
Yeah. Girl Scout cookie.
And Girl Scout cookie.
Wow.
After, a lemonade.
After 100 years of faithful service, this is what the Girl Scouts come
That's
down.
Right.
200 badges on my sash, and I didn't know that.
Now, I know, and I'm going to head this off right now. 7 million people are going to write me and say, it's not a peanut butter sandwich, it's a do-si-do, because they just changed it. Right. No, it's not. It's a peanut butter
sandwich.
Now, wait
sandwich. Just a minute.
It has been.
Have you said you called a Girl Scout cookie by its incorrect name?
Which is a reason... They drum girls out of the core for that.
Yes.
Let me just ask, would 2 extra points keep you quiet?
Five would shut me up for
life. Give them 2 extra points for that. Two extra points to keep it quiet.
She should have bargained for 3.
All right, try this one, Paula. What's the odd one out? Miles, M-I-L-E-S. Connors, C-O-N-N-O-R-S. Matthews, and Hamilton. This is so nasty. I'm apologizing ahead of time.
Does it have to do with the first name?
Yes.
Let's see.
There's Sarah Miles.
There Jimmy. Is a Sarah Miles.
Yeah, but that's not who you're thinking of.
Jimmy Connors.
There's another.
Jim Matthews. So we remember Jim Matthews used to work with us at Channel 4.
I thought Arnie would get the Connors in no time flat.
Jimmy Connors.
No, not Jimmy Connors.
Chris?
Ooh, this is a tough one, see?
Sarah Miles, no. Miles.
Let me give you a hint. Let me get you started here. The Miles that Kim was thinking of is Vera Miles.
Vera. So
does that help at all?
Well, Vera Miles was kind of like a second banana type.
No? Does the other side have any thoughts?
Vera Miles, let's see.
These were the real names of the Gabor sisters.
Yeah.
Were these wives of someone?
Marx Brothers.
No, I don't think. Does anyone in the audience have a thought about this? Well, Arnie, I thought you would get Chuck Connors.
Chuck? Vera, Chuck, and Dave. You're going
Vera, Chuck, and Dave.
God's sake.
is exactly
and Dave
right.
Matthews. Dave Matthews.
Can
yeah.
you explain that to the audience?
Well, now I got it. So.
Well, it's a Beatles song,
it's
of course.
A, yeah.
When I'm 64.
When I'm 64.
Yeah.
Grandchildren on my knee, dear Chuck and Dave.
And the odd one out is Hamilton. That's exactly right. I'm sorry I can't give any points for that, but... Well
wow,
done.
Is that a reach? We've been
that
on too long.
Really is a reach.
that
was a,
long.
Hey, it's odd man out. And finally, Barry, try this one. What's the odd one out? Plum. Apricot.
Apricot.
Green.
What?
G-R-E-E-N.
Yeah. Oh.
And white.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay, so oh. it's a word, right? It's either before or after word.
It is not.
It's not a word.
No. Plum, apricot, oh, green, yeah. and white.
Sports teams?
No.
The colors These. Of the Zimbabwean
Honey, you
flag?
You have this?
Yeah, you want to come by?
Excuse me, Mom.
Let's see.
Take your time.
Oh, right,
any guesses here?
Right?
Food experts?
It's not. It doesn't
that
have
right?
to do with.
Arnie has it.
With,
oh, okay.
Alcohol.
I didn't have
beverages.
Mine, but I got that. Right.
Schnapps.
These are apricot. Is the odd is the odd one out?
Apricot is the odd one out.
And these are names of suspects.
Yes. Can you be any more specific?
Is it Clue?
Yes.
It
Colonel
is
Mustard.
Clue. Very good.
Mr. Green.
Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from the North Shore a cappella. Thanks, guys, for being here. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one is the actual definition. The others have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot good enough to fool Tony's team. 10 points up for grabs to Tony, if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Carolyn, if he can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word Dundrearies. D-U-N-D-R-E-A-R-I-E-S. Dundrearies. Gentlemen?
Today I don't feel like doing anything. I just want to play in my bed. Don't feel like picking up my phone, so leave a message at the tone. 'Cause today I swear I'm not doing anything. No.
Says you spring tour, Northern Tier Statements, next stops in Vermont. First, on Saturday evening, April 20th, at the Spruce Peak Performing Arts Center in Stowe. Then, on Sunday, April 21st, we perform a matinee at the Bellows Falls Opera House in Bellows Falls, Vermont. Then, on June 21st, we're off to Port Townsend, Washington, to close the season with a community Says You. Tickets, information, and details are available, of course, at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. So remember, that's Stowe and Bellows Falls, Vermont, April 20th and 21st, and Port Townsend, Washington, June 21st. Live spring performances of Says You.
Ain't got any anywhere. No.
Says You returns after this from home.
Birthday suit.
annoying. Let it all hang loose. Come on.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That is North Shore a cappella. Thanks, guys. That is Tom Duarte, Vinny Straccia, Jimmy Martin, Guy Ciapone, and Paul Lopes. Thanks very much, guys. I want to take a moment and thank our scorekeepers for this game. That's Benjamin Scherr on the right and Miss Cricket Fligger on the left. Thank you, guys, for keeping the score. We've had a few moments with the word Dundreary's. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
Dundreary's. A form of depression brought on by drinking mediocre scotch. No. No, Dundreary's come to us from the wide world of facial hair. Unibrow, sideburns, handlebar mustache, Snidely whiplash mustache, mutton chops. Dundreary's are long, flowing, decorative side whiskers about the size of a small sheep.
I love it. I love that.
Small sheep.
Long, flowing side whiskers are Dundreary's.
Yes.
Oh. Makes sense.
Whatever.
Quite possible. Or it could be something else. What say you, Arnie?
I guess this must be a slang term for some kind of pair of overalls with a lot of pockets or something, because it's basically work pants worn by gravediggers.
Work pants worn by gravediggers.
In case you want to take something with you.
It's a good possibility.
Work pants for...
Or it could be yet a third alternative, Paula.
Actually, Dundreary's are those long aprons with deep pockets worn by 19th century washerwomen.
Washerwomen pockets.
Long aprons with big pockets, 19th century-ish kind of thing. That's what it is. It could be that. It could be the work pants worn by gravediggers or the long flowing side whiskers. One thing is certain, it's one of those three, and the choice, Tony, is yours.
Well, we already are deep in discussion on this one. At first I thought maybe it was a nautical term, like being in the doldrums. Like the Dundreary's would be that terribly long wait on a cruise ship between mid-afternoon buffet number 6 and early evening brunch number 4.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm inclined. My father, many years ago, wrote an article on beards and how men shape beards, and there were pictures of every letter of the alphabet that had been done. And I think, for that reason, if only sentimental, that side whiskers are the Dundreary's.
Okay.
What do you think?
Barry?
I think Tony's right.
Wow.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
It's that simple?
That's
well,
simple.
Work pants
underpants
and aprons.
For
although, but work pants and aprons with both those things had pockets, so they may be trying to.
Well,
throw
you know, they
us
were
off.
Sitting. They were sitting next to each other.
They were,
one
yeah,
might have been cribbing it from the other, but they tried that
strategy.
One.
They've
tried
done it
that
before.
Look, we're going to go with side whiskers for really no good reason.
And we'll go with our captain's choice.
Carolyn? The captain has stepped forward and said that Dundreary's are long, flowing side whiskers. Is that, in fact, what Dundreary's are?
Dundreary's. Depression brought on by the other side having the right answer.
10 points.
I can't believe it.
Richard,
for
uncovering... The side whiskers. Very good.
We never win this round. What happened?
I know. That's the first time in a long time.
Work pants worn by gravediggers, though, is great. Because, I mean, what do they do? They show up in a three-piece suit?
Yes.
I mean, what else are they doing that day?
I guess.
Digging the grave.
Let's go on to round 3. Little history with Benjamin. Says you's resident scorekeeper brings a little age of discovery to us with his round titled Explore This.
Set in a fit of pique, right?
Yeah. Well, he's just come out of that unit, you know. So he's got to... Please answer the following questions concerning the explorers he's currently learning about in school. Carolyn, Frenchman Robert LaSalle did something that every Broadway producer knows not to do. What did he do?
He went to Florida.
He actually didn't. He
opened
actually
on a Wednesday.
Robert LaSalle. Come on, team.
Robert LaSalle did something every Broadway producer knows not to do. What did he do?
He sold too many tickets.
He
got too many investors.
He did not, no.
He didn't get enough investors.
Well, that's for sure. Oh, I can't believe you don't know the first...
He succeeded in spite of
himself.
We don't
know the first thing about him.
First
okay.
law of show business.
The first law of show business?
Yeah. What's the first law of Broadway? First law of Broadway.
Don't do it.
No. I'm going to give you 6 points, because you're 7 points, because you're pretty much there. But
looking for Mexico and discovered Canada.
Other side, what's the first law of Broadway?
He said Macbeth in a theater.
Oh, yeah. That's
no,
true.
Yeah. That's true. Right. Sorry, that's no, that's right. not it.
So that your thing must be the second law.
Yeah, no. This is the first law of Broadway.
He forgot his lines.
I think the scorekeepers do know the answer to this.
Paid for his own trip.
He paid for his own trip. And as every Broadway producer knows, the first law of Broadway, never put your own money in the show. You know what the second law is? You get 7 points for that.
Right,
he financed his own expedition.
Financed his own expedition.
Which was not often done, but he thought he had something. All right. Try this one.
Where did he go?
Yeah, LaSalle, anyone know where he went?
Didn't he go up the Mississippi?
Mississippi. Yeah.
Actually, he went down.
Down the Mississippi. I thought that was DeSoto who
went down. He went down the Mississippi up.
Try this one, Tony. What's the truth behind Juan Ponce de Leon's search for the Fountain of Youth?
The truth.
What's the truth behind that?
Well, that actually Poland Springs got there first.
That's exactly right. I can't believe he knew that.
Well, clearly I'm in trouble here.
Did he know it was a fib to begin with?
No, I wouldn't characterize it that way. I don't think he knew that it was a fib.
No, I think he believed it, right? And there was
he believed
the
something.
The evidence was wrong, but he misinterpreted the evidence.
This was about, as much as anything, his sciatica.
As soon as he got there, it cleared up.
It did not, actually, but as soon as he got where?
There. Where he thought
as soon as he got where the weather was not cold and damp, his sciatica got better?
No, it's not that so much.
Willow bark, right?
There is something to be said about Fountain of Youth. I will give you that.
Okay, there was some chemical in the source of this water which actually had a specific in it.
Salicylic
for
acid.
It had willow branch.
Aspirin, willow branch.
You know what?
Acetylsalicylic acid.
I don't know what it had, but I'm going to give you 8 points for that, because you did do it. You did a pretty good job on that. Anybody on the other side know?
No.
How many points do we get?
You don't get any.
They've been playing that
I
game
know.
Better.
Benjamin knows. Benjamin, what was he looking for?
I'm not really sure, but...
Isn't this your question?
What do you think?
Then we clearly got the right answer.
Yeah.
I think it had something to do with he actually wasn't searching for the Fountain of Youth. The waters of something else he was searching for.
That's what it is. That's exactly right. He was looking for the waters of Bimini, which were, he was told by the natives, who obviously wanted to get rid of him and get him up north, that these were mineral springs, and they would be good for what ailed you.
The waters of Bufferin.
The waters of Bufferin.
Old tale. I think he was headed in that direction.
He was heading for the waters of Bimini because he was told that they were mineral springs and they would help his lumbago, his sciatica, whatever he had, it'll make it better.
And he thought they were in Florida. Okay.
That's right. Try this one, Arnie. Coronado is generally considered the least successful conquistador of all. Why?
He died in Alaska.
No, he didn't, actually. No. In fact,
he fell over by San Diego and they put a hotel on the spot there.
So. He couldn't sell any merchandise from his expedition. No T-shirts, no hats.
Yeah, right.
That's part of it, yes.
Yeah.
You're going to get some points for that, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they welch on paying him?
What, he get the plague as soon as he landed from the Indians that the previous conquistadors had given the plague to, and so he died?
Yes, Coronado had a coronary.
I can see we're getting no place fast with Spanish explorers here, but no. Why would a conquistador be just considered totally unsuccessful?
He didn't find any gold.
He didn't find any silver.
He didn't find anything valuable.
He didn't find any gold.
He found nothing.
He found I'm going to give you another 7 points for that.
Nothing.
All right.
Any help from the other side?
He couldn't speak Spanish.
Anyone in the audience?
Did he get killed?
No, he did not, actually. 7 points for that. Anyone know what else?
All right, what else could there be?
He didn't claim any land. He didn't have any riches. He got lost a half a dozen times. Half his people went one way, the other people. But worst of all, he was looking for the seven cities of gold. Remember that?
The seven cities
of gold? Because a native guide told him about it. When he couldn't find it, he had the native guide strangled.
Oh, that's going
bare hands. And for that cruelty and many others, he was tried and imprisoned when he got home to Spain. So not only was he unsuccessful, he wound up in jail.
One of the few rare punishments.
Justice
at last.
All right.
Okay.
Lenore, what is the great paradox surrounding Christopher Columbus?
That he actually all his expeditions were unsuccessful, lost money, and didn't he have to return in shame several times or the first couple of times?
It's not that so much. There's a great big paradox here, and we're all part of it.
Well, he didn't discover America.
Well,
you know what?
Yeah.
That's exactly right. 10 points. He did not.
That's not a paradox.
Here is the man, Americans celebrate Columbus for the discovery of America. He never set foot in America, as most of us know. Yeah, do you know where he did land?
Yes, he was in
Cuba.
An island. He was in
Hispaniola.
He landed in what was
Hispaniola, of course.
He
even made it to the northern coast of South America, but never did he set foot on American, on what we call a United States soil, shall we say.
Cuidate.
Try this one, Paula. They sailed over 40 years apart, yet the voyages of John Cabot and Jacques Cartier determined the course of history for the first 200 years for Europeans in North America. Why?
Were they the map makers?
Well, they were map makers, but there's a reason. They determined the course of the first 200 years.
Cartier and Cabot.
Well,
Cabot was also Italian.
That doesn't really...
Yeah, that doesn't have anything to do with it. Okay.
So, Cartier did not find any diamonds here. We know that.
It's for 200 years. This was the concept of the map and what it looked like for the New World.
That's a great answer. It's not correct. But I know where he's coming from on that. Yeah.
Well, it was mostly in Canada. There was a tremendous amount of activity in Canada with all the trappers and all those folks and St. Isaac jokes, I do believe. But Cabot was more in New England, right? So is it just because the first 200 years were mostly in the Northeast and in Canada?
No, but I'm giving you points because you know exactly where they were, and that's a big part of it. Anybody else want to take a shot at this?
They both strongly believed that the source of diamonds is maple syrup.
He had you there for a while, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Had you there for a couple of seconds.
Were they engaged in trying to find a Northwest Passage?
Yes, they were. They both were.
Yeah.
And that's
so
not...
That's not it.
That's
it's
not... Give them 7 points because they got a long way there. Audience, what do you think? Yeah, that it. Those were the original territorial claims on which 200 succeeding years of war were fought.
Okay.
When they both landed there, Cabot first landed, passed by, I should say, Newfoundland and Nova Scotia.
Right.
Cartier went right down past Gaspé, down the St. Lawrence, and founded Quebec and Montreal. They both claimed land that overlapped. And starting from there and moving on, there were always territorial squabbles, which resulted in 200 years of war.
Mm-hmm.
So it was those two original claims that really did a lot toward... determining our character up here. And finally, Barry, the Dutch hired Englishman Henry Hudson to find a Northwest Passage through the continent. Henry had a plan which required a very sunny summer. Why?
Oh, he was going to try and go the northern route. And for the northern route to be ice out long enough you had to have a very warm, sunny summer.
That is exactly right. All right. Very good. Very good, man. Yeah. If you think about where Hudson Bay is, that's what he was trying to do. He was trying literally to go across the top of the globe. The theory was if the summer was warm enough, the ice would be out and you could literally go across the top of the globe. However, after spending a winter on James Bay, his crew mutinied and he was cast adrift. Right. And Henry Hudson was never seen again.
You know, as an idea of how to deal with unsuccessful CEOs.
Yeah. Yeah.
James Bay.
This has some merit.
It has some merit.
Yeah, right.
Let's go on to round four, which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word, two will bluff. 10 points, Carolyn, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to create a definition for the word hippie hoppa.
Hippie hoppa.
J-I-P-I-J-A. P-A, hippie hoppa.
Like
gentlemen?
Oh, when the sun beats down and burns the tar up on the roof. And your shoes get so hot, you wish your tired feet were fireproof. Under the boardwalk, down by the sea, yeah. On a blanket with my baby, that's where I'll be. With that guy, come on.
Here's a quick reminder. Says You comes to Stowe, Vermont, Saturday, April 20th, to Bellows Falls, Vermont, Sunday, April 21st, and to Port Townsend, Washington, on June 21st for a Community Says You. All stops on our spring tour, Northern Tier Statements. Tickets, information, and details are available, as you know, at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. And while you're there, why not contribute a question to the show, download any show in our history, or just tell us what you think. All this and more can be accomplished at saysyou.net.
Yeah, on a blanket with my baby, that's where I'll be.
Come on, briefly, Says You pauses, just long enough for a few interstitial announcements. We'll be right back. We've had a few moments with the word hippie hoppa. We will go first to a puzzled Tony Khan.
Well, I thought it was yippie yappa, mm-hmm. because it's a state of indifference between whoopee and oy vey.
That's a big difference.
No, very large. No, actually, it reminds me of a sport that my father invented and nobody decided to pick up on called Guts Frisbee, where you throw a saw blade.
You throw a what?
You throw a what?
Absolutely. Guts Frisbee. No. All right. Let's get serious. Apparently, it is not easy to catch a boomerang because Jippy Joppa is a game where you have to catch the boomerang.
Catch the boomerang.
A game with a boomerang. And I believe it's catching the boomerang.
Catch the boomerang. The game is Hippy Hoppa.
Hippy Hoppa.
Okay? Could be that. Or it could be something else. Lenore, what say you?
Well, when I first saw it, before I looked at my card, I thought it might have something to do with a little dance that you would do if you had ants in your pants. But then I looked at the definition, and in fact, it is sort of something to do with a dance. It's a way to predict the future by watching mice run around. Like
mice divination.
Yeah. Like
predict the future of the mice?
Mice.
Short and grim.
Yeah. You'll have many, many, many babies.
Could be, yeah.
That's right. You'll eat lots of cheese.
You watch the mice run around, and this divines the future.
They act in a certain way, and if they all group together, that means your mother-in-law is going to die. Right. I don't know.
It could be that. Kind of doubtful, but you never can tell. Barry Hippy Hoppa.
How drunks cross hot sand.
No. I want it to be that.
Actually, Hippy Hoppa is a form of hat. It's a Panama-style hat, and it gave rise to that familiar phrase that you would hear if you're walking down the boardwalk in Rio, where they would say, tap their buddy and go, tip your Hippy Hoppa, Poppy, when ladies walk by. Common phrase heard often in Rio de Janeiro.
Right. Go down to Ipanema.
I think you might be right.
Go down to Ipanema with your hippie hoppy.
Yeah, okay.
You'll be happy.
Hippie hoppa is an Ipanema topper. It is to predict the future by watching mice. All right. Everybody okay over there? No.
Banged his hippie hoppa, huh?
It's to predict the future by watching mice scurry about, or it is to catch the boomerang. The old game of catch the boomerang. Mm. It's one of those three, and the choice, Carolyn, is yours.
Well, I listened to Tony's, and I don't think Hippy Hoppa sounds Australian.
Catch the boomerang.
Lenore's definition, watching mice and predicting the future, seems like something a cat might do.
You're my future.
Yeah, right.
Yes. And then we have Barry, who had time to be really funny. So I think he had the correct definition.
This is how the show works, yeah.
So you think it's a Panama style hat?
I think it's a Panama style hat because I heard Hippy Hoppa and I thought it might be something South American.
Mm. You know what?
So never mind the 82 Aboriginal languages of Australia.
Hippy Hoppa, tip your kappa.
I can't think of another language that takes the J sound and makes it a ha, except for something Spanish, I think.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to
All
go
right, and Paula?
Sure, fine.
Sure, we'll go.
A tip of the old hat.
We'll go with Barry and the Hippy Hoppa hat.
Why is a mouse when it spins, as they say?
Barry, they've rejected the mouse, they've rejected the boomerang, and they say that a Hippy Hoppa is a Panama hat. Is that, in fact, what it is?
Hippy Hoppa, a hat for mice. It's a Panama hat the palm, from named apparently from the palm whose leaves it is made from.
Ah,
10 points.
Hippy Hoppa.
Yep. 10 points to Carolyn for successful sleuthing. Let's close tonight. A round of cryptic destinations.
Cryptic destinations.
And the following ridiculous puns, clues, and references, please tell me the international tourist destination I have in mind. For example, Leave Lady would be Liberty Bell.
It could be any. It could be an item. It could
it could
be a
Disney
bread box.
World.
Right. It could be just about anything. All right?
All right.
Carolyn, try this one. What tourist destination is brought to mind by the clue, Duo Leaves Out?
Duo leaves out. Yes. That would be
two exit, two omit,
two twin cities,
two edit,
Tucson.
Tucson.
There you go.
Omits.
Gets rid of.
Obviously, it's going to be despicable. You know that ahead of time.
Pyramids.
Pyramids. Thank you, Ernie.
Or as we say in this game, headache.
Duo leaves out pair omits. Pyramids is the
pair omits.
I'm sorry, the doors are locked.
And that was the best one I had too. So, try this one, Tony.
Mount Rushmore.
Right. It is not Mount Rushmore.
In your dreams.
The tourist destination brought to mind by the clue enrage a steamy Scot.
Enraged, steamy Scot.
Madden?
No.
Steamy Scot.
Yeah. Oh, it's quiet out there in the audience.
Steamy Scot a person's name?
Yes, it is.
McGregor?
Not McGregor.
Ewan?
Did you get it?
Burns.
Don't say it out loud.
Who's a Scottish current?
Something. There's a reason I used steam here. And that's
steam.
Hot.
Enlighten us.
Oh.
No, I don't think they're going to get it. I may have to go to the audience on this one. Audience, what do you think?
Anger Watt.
James Watt is the Scot who is the steaming Scot you were looking for. Anger Watt is Anger Watt.
Steam engine.
James Watt.
Not Reagan's James Watt.
Not a current Scot.
Not a current Scot. I'm so sorry. Ooh, they're ooing out there now. All right, well, if you think that's bad, wait till you hear this one. Arnie, the tourist destination brought to mind by the clue, Arbuckle's able to ogle oolong.
Arbuckle's able to ogle oolong.
Vatican City is where you have to go. Arbuckle's able to ogle oolong, fatty can see tea. Vatican City. They're just going to get worse and worse, really? Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, God.
Try this one, Lenore. I won by the length of my Oxford.
Something shoe.
Mm-hmm.
I won, though.
Said almost in like a braggart fashion. Said.
Yeah.
Has a certain neener quality to this one.
As in neener?
Yeah, kind of a neener quality. Yeah.
It's like, yes.
Do you have it on the side?
No.
Best.
Don't say it out loud. Does anybody have this?
Long shoe.
Oh, you got it. Excellent. Okay.
I won, so it's sort of braggy-like. It's sort of na-na-na-na-na-na. Beat you by a shoe.
No, I'm gonna.
No idea, Tony.
You got the shoe. You've noticed that I have no opinion.
Tony is doodling. He's not.
Actually, I was drawing a picture of Richard's nose.
No, I don't think. Give him 4 points for getting the shoe. Audience, what is it?
My shoe beat you.
Yes, oh. My shoe beat you. I won by the length of my Oxford. My shoe beat you. Machu Picchu.
They should get their own show.
Yeah, listen, we'll be taking names after the end of this.
Machu Picchu.
All right, try this one, Paula.
Ask him.
Poetic prominence, perhaps.
I'm very good at repeating.
Poetic.
Choose to be a witness.
Poetic prominence, perhaps. This is harder than I thought.
Something that sticks out.
Is it verse?
Mount Ararat.
Ear?
Yuri?
No. Oh, I think someone has it. I just heard it over there.
I didn't hear it.
Ah, good.
Erewhon? No.
That's what I thought.
Poetic. What do we think poetic is?
Poetic
is rhyming.
Verse. Rhyme. Verse.
There you go.
Verse.
Vermont?
Versailles.
Versailles is right.
Very good.
Where did you get that? Versailles.
Poetic prominence is Versailles. Versailles.
Well, where's the prominence? Yeah. Wait a minute. I'm not getting it.
Keep yelling.
I was going to go with size, but no, Versailles.
Versailles.
And finally, Barry, this is for pride. Lot on the line. Cool Kitty dispatches woman.
Oh.
You got it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think
well,
so.
Well, it's probably not the one you want, but
it's good. A good one.
Cool Kitty dispatches woman.
So it's something kills her.
No.
Oh, see?
Carolyn's not right, but it's better than mine.
Well, could dispatches woman be sender, like center?
Yes.
Okay, so center. It's something center.
Cat center. Cat.
Well, you're getting there.
Cool Kitty.
Cat.
Wow.
I don't think they're going to get it. They got the center. Give them 5 points for the center. Audience. Hepcat Center. Yes. Hepcat Center. Epcot Center. Is the yes.
Hepcat.
Well, that was a tough way to end, don't you think?
What was Carolyn's?
Oh, I do.
What was Carolyn's?
Oh, what was Carolyn's? Carolyn, tell him.
Catskills.
The Catskills.
No?
Which I think was much better. And they deserve to win today. It was a 77-point day and a 14-point victory for Miss Carolyn Faye Fox. Winners this week. Congratulations. That is...
We had no idea.
That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Neil Feinberg and all the folks at Bemis Hall here in beautiful Lincoln, Massachusetts, for making it fun. Schur and Salkind often write, Antonio Oliard captures the moment, and Zach Moore is back from Scotland, finally.
Is he steamy?
Our closing thought on this occasion, you know you're from Massachusetts. If you think using your turn signal is a distinct sign of weakness, and if just hearing the words New York puts you in a bad mood all day, that's how it is up here, and we'll see you all next week. You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Benjamin, give them the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
Support for WPLN comes from NS2, presenting singer-songwriter Billy Bragg in concert at the Belcourt Theater Wednesday, April 17th at 8 p.m. Tickets are available at the Belcourt box office and belcourt.org. Lipscomb University's Department of Biology now offering a Master of Biomolecular Science, a non-thesis laboratory-based degree for individuals whose goal is medical or dental school or work in a biomolecular-based career through evening classes. Accepting applications now for the May 28th cohort. More information is available online at biology.lipscomb.edu.
This is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.